Proverbs
3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace will add to you. We're going to see this repetition of Solomon saying, my son, with each new section, all through the chapters that we read tonight. Something interesting in that is that, I'm not 100% sure on this, but who is he speaking to? Is he speaking to his literal son? Ultimately, speaking to us, you know, we're not his literal sons. But there's a sense of relationship. I saw this actually. I was looking through the old children's ministry handbook that this church has in like 2005. So it's been. Steve actually had a copy of it, and it had this phrase, and I found it very interesting. It was talking about rules in children's ministry and the purpose of rules, and shared that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. I just kind of pondered that for a few minutes. The next phrase is kind of interesting too. Relationship without any rules, it sounds harsh, it's right in there, I'm going to make it up. Relationship without rules leads to rehab, you know, where you allow someone basically no rules, no context, no truth, no boundaries, no, and how those two things work together. And I just couldn't help but notice in the way that Solomon writes, my son, do not forget my law. As he's talking of these, hey, here's something that I want to pass along to you. He's going to reference in chapter 4 how he received instruction from his father David. And I think he literally is referring to David as his literal father and things that his dad actually said to him. But there's that, my son, and it's right through the thick of this. And I think, it's definitely been helpful for me to be reminded of that when, you know, we're going to see it a little bit later. Actually, a bunch of times throughout here, you know, God is not a withholder of good. He longs to give good. He longs to bless. He longs to pour out his love. He longs to demonstrate and fulfill promises. And there is a standard. There is, there is law and order to this world that he's created. There is morality. There is those things. But yet he calls us son. That's the relationship he longs to have with us. So I just noticed that kind of right from the beginning. My son, do not forget, which is so much my tendency, my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. We're going to see this in chapter 4. Keep your heart with all diligence, chapter 4, 23. For out of it spring the issues of life. That our heart, the deepest part of us, deeper than our minds and where our intellect lies, but our heart. But let your heart keep my commands. You see, we can, you can follow the law, but not have a heart to follow the law. And that can be a very dangerous place to be. You know that you should do good. You're afraid of what would happen, you know, and in some ways this is, you just look at the law today in the land. You know, if those laws, it's kind of frightening to think about this, you know, when you, live in even a community like ours. If all law and all law enforcement disappeared overnight, what would life be like? Almost immediately. It'd be terrible. It'd be every man for themselves. I'd come over to your house. But then again, if Al wasn't abiding by the law, what kind of man would he be? Probably the same guy. And that's where we see the heart has to change. This outside influence can affect us, but it's really a hard issue. But let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. I just want to say one more time, we see many, this is a book of promises. It's also a book of principles. And just as a reminder, we'll read things like this where it says, God, Solomon's saying, hey, don't forget about the truth and what God says is right. And if you follow him, you'll have a long life. Generally true, but not always true. And we see that and the effect of sin in this world. And but it's a general principle. It's true generally. It's wisdom. It's something we can look at and say, hey, you won't die short, of an evil cause if you're not using drugs and doing violence and, you know, those sorts of things. Yeah. 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 Seek me with your whole heart and you'll find me. Let, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Psalm 25:10, if you want to flip over there. I just found it interesting. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Of course, at the beginning of John, the Gospel of John, the word is different. We see grace and truth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, speaking of Jesus. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And a few verses down, 16, and of his fullness, of Jesus' fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. The idea, just incredible grace, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. We're going to see attributes of wisdom and a kind of wisdom personified as a really a woman, you know. And so it may seem kind of weird. I'm still not sure about this. I look at the attributes of wisdom and I see Jesus. I just see, we'll see this in a few verses, I see Jesus. Like you could take out the, you know, switch around the pronouns and take away the word wisdom and add Jesus, and it still makes very good sense. And you see that wisdom is this characteristic. It's really the source of it is God. In fact, James 1:5 tells us that we can approach God. If we lack wisdom, then we can come to him and ask, and he'll liberally give of wisdom. There's a concept there we'll revisit in a few minutes. Proverbs 3:5-6, something we should all memorize and employ in our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I think at the very heart of Proverbs is those two verses. Really think, if that is your heart, you understand that God loves you, he's not a withholder of good, you understand that he wants you to see things from his perspective and not be dependent on your own limited understanding, your own limited perspective. And you also understand that because he's a good father, you can come to him acknowledging him in all your ways, saying, God, I want you involved in every part of my life. And it says, he shall direct your steps or your paths. What a promise. You know, forget the principle there. That is just 100% promise. God longs to direct our lives. He longs to guide us. You know, my understanding, not perfect. His understanding, very perfect. The next one. As if to clarify further, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We saw, you know, we see this in Genesis with Eve, how the Satan comes and he tempts her, not with something that looks terrible, but something that looks really good. It looked good for food. Desirable to make one wise, is pleasant to the eyes. And so Satan, twisting the word of God, was able to deceive her with this thing that appeared very good. Now, I won't say this, you know, categorically, but when something looks so good, you don't feel like you say no, be concerned. Really seek the Lord. Of course, the Lord is, you know, as I was thinking about that statement, it's like, well, my wife fits that category, and that was definitely a blessing from God, you know? But it just be careful, because there's this tendency for us to see things as we want them to be and not as they really are, and to be deceived. And that's where we go back to 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord, lean not on my own understanding, acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct my paths. Jumping ahead, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. I'll tell you personally, me and my wife were reading through this together. Sorry, my nose is itchy. I don't know why. And now it's in the recording. That's fine. So that's what I'm doing. Probably driving you nuts. Don't look at me. We read through that, and basically, how do I say this? Always been really, I'm not legalistic minded when it, not even, I don't want to say that. There's some people have different opinions about giving to the Lord or offerings to the Lord. In fact, I heard, this was kind of funny. I can't remember where it came up, but, you know, maybe it came up with you. People bring in tithes to the Lord, and there's churches where they say, well, that's your tithe, but what about your offering? It's like two things now? Like, keep adding to it. And I've always just been, you know, the Lord is very capable. The Lord wants us to be generous. The Lord wants to, you know, and what I have is all his anyway. And I was kind of confronted with one aspect of this verse, and it really, for me, and I'm not extrapolating that all to you, but for me, it was honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And what I found very easy in my own life is to wait for everything to kind of get taken care of. And then from that, you know, amount or from that idea in my mind, like, okay, now I have some left over to that I can bless. And that's not a bad thing to be generous with, you know, your surplus. But it's not, I guess, true to this verse for me, with the first fruits of all your increase. And the Lord kind of honestly convicted me that if it's not the first fruit, it's not really the same amount of trust. And that you could still have a generous spirit, you could still be liberal, you could still be not materially minded, but it kind of reminded me, hey, it's a trust thing. And I'm blessed by that. I'm blessed when you have faith. It's impossible to please me without faith. So have faith there. And that, I don't say that. I'm glad it's a small group. It just came up between me and my wife. And I hope there's things through Proverbs that come up like that for you. Not necessarily, not with money. Always want to be sensitive talking about that. But true to the word. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Of course, there's people that say, you know, that they look at God as like, it's like a business transaction. I give a little bit, you give a lot. God is sometimes that way, but it's not a business transaction. And there are times where, you know, I'm thinking of like the end of Habakkuk, when a faithful man says, hey, even though the fig has failed, like there's no fruit on the vine, I'm going to bless the Lord. He is still good. And I think sometimes our perception or our understanding of the word blessing has so become financial that we forget that we can have basically nothing, not enough even, but have that joy and that peace and that security from God that, hey, he's got this. And I just think, you know, yes, it does say that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And those are literal things. I think it's a principle that, hey, God will take care of you. Honor him. But I know that even in lean seasons or even, you know, like Habakkuk describes, seasons where it failed. Crop fail, but God is still who he says he is. He's still good. He's still worthy of our trust. It was never a business transaction. It was always a relationship thing going on. What's up, Bruce?
Oh, I said his hand isn't too sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. God loves us, therefore he corrects us. He wants us to grow. He wants good to come out of our lives, and he knows that, you know, left to our own devices, with no input from him, we're evil people. Yeah. We're probably not going to get it right. We're definitely not going to get it right. And so that there, you know, there's you guys have heard this stuff before, but you know, for the man that, you know, does wrong and feels no conviction, no regret, no, maybe doesn't know God, because God would correct, you know, when you feel that intense, like, man, I blew it, and the Lord is speaking, man, remember, your son in whom, or a daughter in whom he delights. That's why he's saying, hey, this was messed up, you know, not to just smash you down, yeah, but to restore you, to change you. I think, wow, I stink. Here we go. I'm getting awfully loose-lipped. I got to be careful about that. I called my daughter. I said something the other day, and Hannah said it right back. I called somebody a sucker. And Hannah starts going, sucker, 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 sucker. And then Addie chimes in. They, like, recognized immediately that it wasn't the type of word, you know, that I'd want them to repeat. And then they jumped all over that. Anyway. You know, and important to note in 11 and 12, man, we're probably not making great time, but we're doing comprehensive, I guess. Important to note that the Lord often will use people to correct us. It'd be awful nice if all the correction that God did was like, you know, from the throne straight to our mind, audible, you know, like, oh, that would be, I know it's him, I know. But what I've experienced in my own life is that he'll often use people, which often creates a problem with me in that I'm proud. And that I don't, you know, that person that's bringing that correction 100% of the times isn't a perfect person. And so it's easy to kind of take that and flip it around and say, well, they're not perfect, so nothing they say is perfect, and I don't have to listen to them at all. You know, I think there's a fair amount of wisdom in recognizing that the Lord speaks through other people. It could be my son when I make a mistake and he sees it. We're counting jelly beans, you know, I think I might have told the story, counting jelly beans for a jelly bean jar contest. We happen to have the jar, so why not get the beans and just put them in the jar and then count how many are in there and then enter the contest that way? And Judah goes, that seems like cheating to me. It's like, well, we didn't see it the same way, but it was interesting to see how quickly that came out of his mouth. I mean, and there are times where he said, I mean, come up to me and Jess, you know, we're arguing. Stop arguing. And okay, that's God speaking, and I ought to listen. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, when it's somebody that's, you know, either we're an authority, or, you know, somebody subordinate to us at work, or a younger person, or whoever, young and old. God could use whoever to correct us. He does it a variety of ways. We just want to have the right perspective. He loves us. That's why he's dealing with us in that way. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. I said it would be very easy to read this and just say, happy is the man who finds Jesus Christ and the man who gains understanding. You know, and then look at how, you know, nothing compares with him. Length of days, you know, eternal life is in his right hand. You know, riches and honor in God's kingdom. He's a tree of life. Happy are all who, you know, retain, you know, that relationship. And speaking of wisdom, in reading this, you know, three words, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, seem to be at times used interchangeably. There are some differences. I wouldn't be super dogmatic about this, but found a kind of a resource that was helpful to me. Knowledge is the truth. It's the facts. Okay, knowing the facts about things doesn't necessarily change the way that you act. There's brilliant men that know lots of things. Think of the religious leaders in Jesus' day. But they didn't know the meaning of the Word of God, and they certainly didn't know how to apply it. So the knowledge is fact-based or truth-based. Understanding, you look at those facts, you look at that knowledge, you look at that truth, and you're able to pull out meaning from those facts. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do with the meaning of the truth, how to apply it to your life. This was really helpful to me. Somebody used this analogy. They said, okay, Jesus spoke in parables. The disciples heard the parables. The parables were truth, but they were truth concealed. And so to get understanding, the disciples went and they said, Jesus, what did those parables actually mean? We know the words, but could you give us the meaning? And Jesus did. But that wasn't necessary. They could know all that, but still not apply it. Look in Judas's case, still not apply it to their lives. The application wasn't automatic just because they knew the meaning. And so we see, you know, knowledge is fact or truth. Understanding is knowing the meaning behind those facts or truth, what it's about. And wisdom is the application or putting that understanding of the truth into practice. If that's confusing to you, it was confusing to me, and I have a little diagram, so that makes it easier for me. But the Lord, verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. I mean, you could just, this is so brief, you go on and on and on about the things that you see in nature. Do you guys know what the Fibonacci sequence is? Anybody? Well, Al does. You know the actual sequence. That's impressive. But it's a mathematical sequence that is everywhere in nature. And it governs curves and spirals and different things. And so mathematicians, you know, scientists are just like, wow, you know, from organic life to non-organic, like this number, this sequence of numbers, this ratio is everywhere. What's with that? What's with that? The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. The clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. It kind of reminds me of the end of Jude, where it talks of our relationship with Jesus and him keeping us from stumbling. That's just an amazing thing that God can do. Keep men and women like us from just falling, you know, flat on our face and never going anywhere. Verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Side note, when I got saved, I started sleeping. You know, I don't say that like if you're not sleeping, you're not saved. I just, for me, it was like night and day. I couldn't sleep, got saved, could sleep. You know, for the first time in my life, just deep, satisfying sleep. Also started working a lot. So those things sometimes go hand in hand too. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. I knew of a man before he was saved, and he was very into drugs. At that time, he had a girlfriend, maybe a couple kids with her, and was so terrified of drug dealer coming that he actually built basically a little parapet, like a little thing above his house that he could sit in with a gun at night where he really thought, you know, because he just, I mean, that stressed out, that kind of fear of sudden terror. That's what the wicked fear. And what can man do to me? Well, they could do a lot of things to me, a lot of things I wouldn't like, a lot of things to me. But ultimately, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm his possession eternally. The Lord will be my confidence, and he will keep my foot from being caught. 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. James says, you know, if you know what is good, you don't do it, and you did something wrong. You omitted to do right, and that's a sin too. When it is in the power of your hand to do so. 28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it to you. Do not, when you have it with you. Practically speaking, you know, if you have a guy come and labor for you for a day, best pay him on that day. If you can, you know, payroll is probably, you know, companies might be different, but, you know, I found that it solves a lot of problems. It makes it easier on me and on them, I think. Well, what do I know? I'm not a businessman, though, so there's probably reasons for payroll. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, okay. All right, then I'm not crazy. Just legalistic. do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. 30 seems pretty straightforward. Like, don't pick fights with people that don't mess with you. It's kind of amazing, if you take that verse and apply it to your marriage, how many fights or arguments it would save, honestly. Me and Jess went to a marriage course, which is one class down at Old Town, Love and Respect, and it was interesting to think about, just without going really deep into this, just communication in a marriage. You know, you think that she's, you know, and the part of some of the things we talked about, you think she's challenging your respect, but she's just like, where's the love? And so because you're both, you know, your perspective is both jacked up, you start fighting basically for no reason. And that's really simplistic, but I just, 30, I mean, you could think of it with your neighbor, but for me, how many times have I just been, you know, here's an example that came up for me. I shared this with everybody. I said, you know, one of the things the Lord's been dealing with me is, you know, when my wife starts talking to me, not to walk into another room. And it sounds stupid. Like, how ignorant could you be, Sam? But the way my brain works, I start thinking what needs to be done. And I'm thinking about and I'm going to build that, and I'm going to do this. And then she starts saying something. And it's just, stop thinking, and the Lord said this many times to me, stop thinking about it and just stop. Just don't leave the room and you've done well. Just turn to her and look at her and you've done even better. You know, and but you know, then maybe it's something that's maybe true for you guys, like you're working, you get a phone call from your wife and no reason to be. You're right in the middle of things, but you're sure with her. Just because you're working, you got things on your mind, you got things to do. But in not being sure, I mean, what would, you know, your reaction if you called a buddy and he was like that? You'd be like, what the heck, did I do something wrong? Is that guy mad at me? And that's, maybe I'm just speaking for myself. You guys don't have these problems. But, you know, or I'm not being clear. But there's just these ways that we, I don't know. You get where I'm coming from? Okay, all right. We might go back next Sunday night to that class. It was good. Good to hear other people talk about, like, well, this isn't unique to me. It's common to man. But Peter, you know, 1 Peter says, dwell with your wife with understanding. Yeah. You need to figure her out. Yeah. And if you don't, then your prayers will be hindered. That's bad. I know that's bad. God's give her good things. I need my prayers not to be hindered. Anyway, moving on. 31, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. I love this. But his secret counsel is with the upright. His secret counsel. God wants to speak to those that desire to hear him. He longs to do that. His secret counsel is with the upright. Something that the man that's not reborn, you know, that's not does not have God's Spirit inside him cannot understand the wisdom of God, but we can, you know, us, the foolish things of this world. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. For me, you know, going back to that blessing, okay, not just dollars, not just materials. You walk into a home, people are maybe not that well off, but they have that joy and peace. It's like you never want to leave. I've actually, and this is maybe sounds strange, going over to Bob and Tab Layton's. I've commented, I've watched the clock, and it appears that it slows down. And just and in a wonderful way. Usually, you know, you spend time with it, and when you're having fun, and just time. And I've just, I don't know what it is. Like, it's, and not time slows in a bad way. It slows down. I look at them like, oh, yes, it's only 7. We still have like half an hour here. And you just, there's homes that you walk into. This is a blessed place because the people serve the Lord. They love the Lord. Surely he scorns the scornful and gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So much there. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, James says. Hear my children, the instruction of a father. We'll just go through 4. And give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me. So Solomon speaking when he says, you know, when I was my father, David's son, he's still alive, and I was the only one in the sight of my mother, Bathsheba. David taught me and said to me. I think this is a quote, personally. Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the highest thing. Another way of describing knowledge, understanding. Well, let me do it this way. Knowledge is like a first rung on a ladder. Understanding is like a second rung. Wisdom is the top rung. Wisdom, the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. And she will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. I want to be the type of man that can continually be corrected and instructed by God and by other people. And I've noticed that is, going back to dwelling with your wife with understanding, not always easy to hear stuff like that and realize, well, I wish that I just loved correction. I wish that I loved to be instructed. But I need to, I think we all do, you know, we need to have that heart and that attitude. I don't know it all. I need wisdom. I need to get more wisdom. I need to get understanding. Don't let it go. Take firm hold of instruction. Keep her, for she is your life. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it and do not travel on it. There's no being close casually with sin here. We're going to see this again in chapter 5, which we'll get there next week. But this may sound kind of weird, but okay. Bangor, there was a video store. It always used to be this way, called Dave's Video, Dirty Dave's Video. There's probably a couple different names for it. It's right in town. And there's these really nice apartment buildings right next to it. And I always thought, like, I bet there's I mean, it looks like really nice apartment buildings. There's probably families that live there. And for me, it's just like, if I was looking for a place to live, and say that apartment was renting, and I looked there and I just, okay, the apartment's great, fits my needs, you know, it's the right price. I look next door and I say, no way. No way am I going to live right next to, you know, an adult video store. I'm just not going to do it. And yet, you know, I can have that perspective. But then, you know, like my kids are getting older. They're not quite there yet. But, oh, yeah, unrestricted internet access is fine. You know, that's okay. They won't find anything. They won't see anything. Nothing will come to them. And it's like there's just kind of a wackiness to that view. Actually, me and my wife end up speaking about it and was like, okay, well, we ought to do something. We ought to make sure that we're just not casual about our proximity to something that evil, especially when we're talking about vulnerable, susceptible, you know, kids and then parents. And, you know, it's a reality. And I just found it interesting as I considered, I'm not saying like the internet's the evil, you know, if you have a TV, you're going to hell, and things. Just saying, there's just, I don't see a casual attitude here when it comes to opportunity for sin, opportunity for destruction in us or in our kids. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. I mean, apply that to your kids. Like, there are people that are so evil that they will not go to sleep unless they basically destroy someone else's life. Yeah.
And you can get a little bit more information on this. You can watch and say, okay, this person is not going to rest until he goes further, or he's not going to sleep. So be careful.
Yeah. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I like 18 and 19, but kind of shows us a contrast. But the path of the just that are listening, that are pursuing God, is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. I like that ever brighter part, you know, because work in progress right here. Ever brighter. You know, maybe started out with one lumen, maybe I'm up to five, you know, but I my prayer is that, you know, as I grow, as I mature, as the Lord works on me and I accept his work in me, that ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And what a sad thing to look out, and I mean, we look at people that are in drug addiction, in and out of relationships, in all kinds of trouble, in very, you know, many different things. They're in the dark. They don't even know what's making them stumble. That's a terrifying, sad reality. And I used to be there. No real satisfaction. My son, verse 20, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, like at the center of who you are, not just intellectually. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, and out of it spring the issues of life. Okay, this is going to be kind of a gross analogy. We all have toilets in our house. We all keep our toilets clean. But if you think about it, this is just weird. This is bizarre. This is because there's 10 people here and I can get away with saying it. Okay, I use and clean my cups that I drink out of in a very particular, very intense way. We do clean our toilet, but they're not as clean as a drinking glass. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. I mean, just toilet, you know, just visibly clean. You know, we'll use a cleaner, but it's... when we're talking about the heart, it's like literally we're drinking from this. Like this is touching our lips. This is, that has to be clean. All diligence. My dad used this analogy for years. Wish I'd listened to him, like, you know, Solomon's trying to pass down. He said, you have this pristine mountain lake, right? It's beautiful. You know, and allowing, you know, basically like evil thoughts dwelling on them. It's like backing up a dump truck of trash and just, you know, dumping it into the lake. How long till it's not pristine anymore? I mean, the first load, the second load, the third load. I mean, how much trash, you know? And just with all diligence, keep your heart. For out of it spring the issues of life. It's the center of what we do. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. You know, like these last, I think, three verses. In a world where it's so easy to look at other people, how's that guy's walk with the Lord? How's his fruit? What's going on there? I think that's kind of messed up. I don't like what I see. Listen to this. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. I mean, it's not saying don't lead, don't shepherd, don't care, but be sure of where you're walking. Be sure of how you're doing. Examine yourself. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. There we go. Anything really stood out to you guys that you want to, before we pray, mention? To make it more appealing to us men when we read, I don't know. That's a terrible answer. Don't edit that out. It's a great question. What do you think? Do you have a, you get what? Oh, yeah. Oh, I do know what you're saying. Yeah, there's the presentation of a wise woman calling out to the young man and the adulterous woman calling out to the young man. And yeah. Great question. Sorry. We should know the answer to that. Yeah. Anything? All right. Well, yeah. It's easy to get bogged down in this stuff because there's stories like with every, especially as we get later, you know, where they're like almost like one-offs, you know. We could. Yeah.
Don't be a dump truck driver. He's got a dump gravel tomorrow.
Carrying around trash. Anyway.
I like that, the way you put that, because you said.
Man, I really wanted to get to five because there's this, and we'll just set it up for next week. But there's this, the adulterous woman. And then, you know, like, I don't know. I remember my perspective as a young man, not a believer, just looking at the Bible says basically don't. That was like the Bible in one word. Don't. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, and what we see in this chapter next week, we'll see it. We do see don't, because it'll destroy your life. But then at the end, it says, drink water from your own cistern. You know, and it talks about the wife of your youth. And other attributes, and you know, God is, don't, because I love you, I know it's best for you, have this instead, you will be satisfied. Very interesting, it says that, and maybe I'm thinking too deep, it actually says that we should be drunk with her love, the wife of our youth. And that's a deep, significant, I mean, that's an intense statement. Anyway, we'll go there next week, but I just weren't supposed to get there.
Was a dude.
Yeah. Do get wisdom. Get understanding. How you can't reduce it anymore. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Love verses like that. But hey, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for speaking. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's the truth, and that in knowing the meaning, Lord, being filled with your spirit, Lord, and your spirit dwelling in us, is an amazing thing, Lord, that we can take that meaning and actually apply it to our lives. Lord, that's the fruit of what you want to do. And I just ask that, you know, starting with me, starting with each one of us, Lord, we'd hear and we'd say, well, that needs to change in me. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to get wisdom to actually apply the truth of this in my life? Lord, may fruit, Lord, that just glorifies you be the result. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.